Welcome to Beer, Beats, and Business, the business podcast for smart people who appreciate the insights found in a good conversation. That guy sitting at the end of the proverbial bar is your host, David J.P. Fisher, but everyone around here just calls him D. Fish. He's an author, speaker, and business coach. Basically, he's a professional talker. So grab a glass of your favorite beverage, grab a seat, and join us for today's episode. Let's see where the conversation takes us.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to another interesting conversation with an interesting person. Today, that role of interesting person is being played by my friend, Mark J. Carter. Mark helps companies and organizations build valuable business relationships and bring big ideas to life through mentoring programs and speaking experiences. Mark, how are you?
So far, so great this week. Thanks for having me.
So far, so great. I like it. I like it. I'm doing pretty great myself because I am having a beer from our sponsor, Beguile Brewing. Beguile's up on the north side of Chicago and have quickly become famous for making just some amazing beers. In fact, their Imperial Pajamas won the Great American Beer Festival Gold for Imperial Stouts, I think 2 years ago. Unfortunately, I'm not drinking that. That's an amazing beer. But fortunately, I'm drinking their Beguile Blonde, which is it's a blonde ale, and it's pretty fantastic. So cheers, Beguile. Thank you for sponsoring this episode. But Mark, here's my question. What do people get wrong about mentoring?
Great question. What do people get wrong about mentoring? One of the big ones I see with the best of intentions is people either not meet somebody and reach out cold online, or they meet somebody at an event and it's their first time meeting them. And it's a higher level person, a CEO, a speaker featured at an event, whatever it might be. In other words, a busy person. And with the best of intentions, they jump right into, will you be my mentor? Which is kind of like proposing to somebody before the first date. You're asking for a relationship and they don't even know you yet. That's one of the biggest things that I see.
Gotcha. Gotcha. They're kind of jumping the gun a little bit.
And they mean well. It's good. But instead of doing that, they could ask, hey, I'd love to ask you two questions. 15 or 20 minutes, can we please set up a phone call? And if you do that, they're much more likely to say yes. And the mentoring relationship, I've always had, especially now, people I consider to be mentors. But in 20 years, I've never formally asked somebody to be my mentor. I just let the relationship grow organically. Start with a 20-minute phone call. Then if they give you advice, follow up with what you did with the advice. But don't ask them before you get to know them.
I love that idea because you're right. It's interesting to think of my mentors and people that I would view as a mentor or somebody who might view me as a mentor. And I don't think the word mentor ever came up, right? It was just part of the natural evolution of the relationship.
Absolutely.
So, okay. So that begs the question. And we actually, on a recent episode with Chrissy Polito, kind of got into mentorship a little bit. But this is not something we dove into. What is mentorship? Because I think mentoring is kind of like networking or, success. It's this word that we all think we have a shared definition, but we usually have very different definitions. So like kind of, and you really work in that mentoring space, developing programs, helping companies and organizations figure out how to like make mentorship like a thing. So how would you define mentoring?
I would define it as the short answer that comes from, I've been talking with people for 20 years about it, doing interviews. So now I turn them into podcasts or video interviews. In the beginning, I was just out of college. So I just took notes in my notebooks. And right. After looking through the notebooks, all like at the time, 15 years of notebooks and trying to pull these pieces together to get a system going, I realized, to me at least, what I've seen from interviews and my own experiences, mentoring is getting advice, support, and or connections to solve a problem you're currently facing.
Gotcha. So, I mean, there's a lot packed in within there, but it's this idea of solving a problem. Is mentorship about solving a specific problem or more of a long-term problem in your eyes?
It could turn into, if a mentoring relationship grows, it can ultimately turn into, it can change the arc of your entire professional life. to get them started and in your meetings. That's the checklist, is the advice, support, and or connections to solve a problem. You could say or create an opportunity, which just kind of problem and opportunity. Well, it's just a different side of the coin. Usually they're the same thing.
Okay. Well, I like what you just said there. You use the phrase mentoring relationship. So there is something to duration, right? It's not just a transaction. It's not about just trying to get a connection or somebody to become a client. It really is about finding somebody who's going to help, maybe not forever, but over some period of time, right?
Ideally, that's where you'd like it to go. I mean, you could have, it could be one phone call that, you know, presents a solution to you that changes your life. I mean, I've seen that happen. I've had that happen. Ideally, you do want a longer term relationship, because then people get to know you. I mean, some great advice I just had from someone who's a friend who I could say mentors me. He's in the same business space that I've known for 16 years, and he's a phenomenal guy. We're just good friends now, but he's ahead of the curve with where I want to go. He's been around longer. So he shares his successes with me and helps me, like, here's my ideal target market. Here's how to reach out to clients when I needed it most. And without his advice, I could have spent 6 months stumbling, trying to move into a new market, making my own mistakes just to figure it out 8 months later. Instead, he shortened my learning curve by months.
Gotcha. Well, I like, so what you pointed out there is it's kind of preventing you from making, from having to make all the mistakes yourself, right? What is it? They say a dumb man doesn't learn from his mistakes. A smart man learns from his mistakes. A wise man learns from other people's mistakes, right? And women too. I mean, we got to include everybody in this.
Yeah.
But so it's the idea of approaching somebody and not saying like, oh, you've made a bunch of mistakes. Can I tell me what you learned from them? But kind of expanding your knowledge base without you actually having to do the work yourself in some ways. Am I right in that?
Yes, definitely. You get new tactics. You learn, but like what I learned with him, I want to start working with privately held companies more in 2020. And we had to narrow it down to the size. And how do you ask for a referral? And are you saying a dollar amount, a number of employees? There's just a lot of dynamics that go with moving into the new market. He's been doing it 8.5 years already with similar companies. So he could just nail it down right away. Don't ask about revenue, talk number of employees and a lot of other criteria that I got over a dinner that easily could have taken me 3-6+ months to learn on my own by making mistakes.
Right. A bunch of phone calls that go nowhere until you're like, wait a second, I should probably change what I'm asking here.
Oh my God. Privately held companies, from revenue to number of employees, there's so many options and so many things that you could do that he just shaved months off my learning curve by saying, here's what worked for me.
No, I love that. So how did you get into, you know, focusing on mentoring, or really kind of, again, putting your attention on this in more of a way than just, oh yeah, I should have a mentor or two?
Great question. That one came, it was 2014, where one of my mentors, who I had known at that point for 10 years, he's a serial entrepreneur, venture capitalist. He's worked with hundreds, if not thousands, of startups and runs an accelerator. So he's been around the block. And I became a mentor at this place called 1871 in Chicago, an incubator.
Very cool. Yep.
And it took my mentor to point out that I was doing something different. I actually had a structure for mentoring. What he would see was some wide-eyed kid or a startup would come in, and if they got a half hour of his time, and essentially fumble around. And they're like, they didn't know what to ask. They weren't prepared. They had a conversation, but it wasn't necessarily something that could move the needle. And when you talk to a mentor who has a ton of experience, he has so much memory to draw on that you have to ask the right questions. You have to be prepared. You have to have an agenda, not just come in and say, I need funding. Well,
everyone, how do I sell more? Yeah.
That's what they do. And he pointed out to me, after I was having success and the startups were coming to me for how to find mentors in marketing is what my office hours were about. And he's the one who pointed out to me that I have a case study in mentoring. This might be something you want to do, because nobody is doing the mentoring training. Like, I have the so granular, from before you say hello to finding a mentor to making a checklist to reaching out for the first call, the first meeting, the follow-up to the first meeting, every step of the process I drew off of my interviews with people at the time of 15 years. And it was his advice of mentoring programs essentially match you up. They say, David's right. your mentor. And they mean well, but that's it. It's David's your mentor.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
And I actually can say, no, this is like we did at Loyola's Quinlan School of Business and to some extent Columbia in New York, Columbia University. And now we're looking in the startup world to get back into that just because I love seeing people once they know how to do it with startups and college students. It's teach a man to fish, essentially. Instead of just giving one piece of advice, I can say, here's how to go get mentoring, create mentoring experiences for the rest of your life.
That's awesome. But like, and obviously we don't have to unpack all of this, but what are, you know, if somebody was like, hey, what are the two or three big things I should do? I'm a startup. Me and my friend just have this new app because Lord knows we don't have enough apps in the world. But so it's like, we've got this new app, you know, we're young, we're hungry, but we know we need some mentorship. Like, what are the two or three things that you'd be like, okay, at least get these things right or else you're screwed? What would they be?
First, isolate your weaknesses. I had to work with a lot of startups on this one. They would come in and say, we need funding or we need clients. And it's a question beyond that, which is, why don't you have funding? Why don't you have clients? Because the problem is never, ever, 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 ever funding. There's an underlying, it's you don't have a good pitch deck. You're not good at networking. You don't present yourself well. You don't have a network to build off of. You don't have technical expertise. There's an underlying problem beyond the big one of I need more sales or I need funding. So it's drill down to that first, know what it is.
Oh, and that's huge.
Find somebody that's done it themselves or find in a startup world, at least either someone who's done it themselves or somebody that has seen it, like that guy I mentioned that's worked with hundreds of startups, somebody that runs an accelerator who can draw from, well, I've seen 10 startups do it this way. That's even more ideal than just one person's viewpoint.
I love that. Like, what is the real problem here? And it's interesting you say that because, you know, in my career as a business and sales coach, that all the time, I tell people, I'm like, okay, the first conversation or two, we're going to actually figure out what the real problem is. You think it's A, what you said, but it's really B, and we have to uncover. It's like, yeah, like we want more clients. It's okay. Well, why don't you have clients? Mm-hmm. You know, what is really happening? Because until you get to that point, you're right. You can't really have a good conversation that moves you forward. That's really interesting. Is there anything else that, so getting really clear about what you need sounds like a big thing. Is there any advice you'd give about who to pick as a mentor? Like who, you know, because there's, I think, a lot of successful people in the world. And I think a lot of people, to your point that you made at the beginning, is they just walk up to somebody, you seem successful, will you mentor me? And you're like, whoa, back off. Yeah. Like what are important things to look for, or how do you go about that?
Find somebody that's done what you want, something like what you want to do. Just because somebody is a multimillionaire and a CEO of a huge Fortune 100 company doesn't necessarily mean they can help you with networking. Maybe they climb the corporate ladder based solely on their skill set, their resume, and their interviewing skills. If they've never had to network, and by had to, I mean had to, as in you got to keep the lights on networking. They can try, but just because they're successful doesn't mean they can help you. You have to find someone who somehow is telling stories or that you elicit stories from with, oh, you built an app in the ABC space in the tech world. I'm developing an app in the ABC space. And they always have to ask like that. You did X, I'm doing Y. And I think that you've done what I'm trying to do, or you've helped people. Like someone could come to you as a sales coach, you could draw on a wealth of experience from working with hundreds of salespeople, not just one person's perspective. So I think that's even more ideal is if we're talking about startups, find someone who runs an accelerator or who works at an 1871 directly with tons of startups or who mentors a lot of people or trains a lot of people and get their advice, support, and connections.
Cause it sounds like it's, you know, when you think about what that support, what that advice is, it's really like you're asking for a perspective that you haven't had the time or experience to develop yourself. And so you're kind of, and I say this in a positive way, you're kind of borrowing their perspective for a little bit, right? You know, based on what you know, how would you view what we're doing right now, right? Based on, you know, the three companies you've built in the app space, how does that, you know, how does it reflect on what we're doing in the app space? And, you know, are we doing something wrong? Are we doing something right? I think that that's really powerful. When you think, you'd mentioned that you'd kind of put together a program before, and then we kind of made light of the, hey, most mentoring programs are like, all right, you're the mentor, you're the mentee, good luck. Is there anything else that's like missing in mentoring programs? You know, because this is kind of a hot topic right now. You're seeing this a lot, definitely in the startup space, but I think a lot in even, you know, graduate programs, for example, is one thing I think of where, you know, people are really talking about alumni programs that have mentorship aspects. Is there anything else that's kind of missing in mentor programs that you've seen?
Well, the big one, and it's underlying all of it that we talked about, spoke about a little bit, it's that structure. But it's not just the structure in the beginning. It's here's how you do every single step of the mentoring process. There's a structure to it. There's a right and a wrong. There's very clear right and wrong ways to do it. There's right and wrong ways to have meetings, follow up, set up a second phone call and or meeting, how to take action, what they tell you. And that's really what I do is, hey, here's this extensive program that's essentially, and we have a software partner that helps drive the relationship forward. There's reminders. We can check in on the people in the program and see who's doing what, who hasn't had their first meeting. So that also helps. But the real part is the structure beyond just David's your mentor, but the structure, because once you, if it's just how to pick a mentor, that doesn't mean you know how to have a good meeting, which it doesn't mean you know how to follow up. It doesn't mean you know how often to follow up. And I end up doing one-on-one and group coaching with the people in the program too.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, one thing that I've always found useful for me and even for people that have reached out to me, not even necessarily for mentoring, but you know, just for advice. And I came across this somewhere, and I have no idea where, probably on LinkedIn somewhere. But if you're going to ask somebody who's successful / busy for feedback or advice, just be super specific. And what's really interesting is, and I've done this, and it totally works, where instead of saying, hey, could I pick your brain, which, I mean, I hate when people do that to me. Right. Or, hey, you know, what's going well? Like, I still remember this one, and this was actually specifically around social media. There was somebody who was doing really well on some of his LinkedIn engagement. And I was like, we were already connected, but we didn't really know each other. And I just reached out and I said, hey, I've been really impressed with some of the numbers you've been posting. You know, I'm very, you know, curious as to, you know, what you're doing that is driving this engagement. Would you have 10 minutes to talk? You know, I'm really curious about this. And he was like, absolutely. And this was a guy in the digital marketing world, you know, relatively big name, somebody who has a lot to do. But I asked him for 10 minutes. He gave me 45. Right. And I walked away like just with a ton of notes, a ton of gratitude, and, you know, some great ideas. It actually fundamentally shifted a few things about how I approached, you know, how I post and how I share online. But it was that specificity, right? I wasn't just like, hey, help me out. And I think that's really important. Even when people ask me questions, I go, hey, if you can be specific with exactly what you want, I'll tell you. But if you just are like searching for the secret, I don't want to spend an hour trying to figure that out with you.
Oh yeah, definitely. Specificity is definitely key.
Is there anything else that's important to like follow up or that you found that really, well, actually maybe here's even the question, what helps develop the relationship versus just a meeting, you know, one and done, we had a meeting, that's it. Like what kind of creates the opportunity for that relationship to maybe to blossom, so to speak?
Well, one thing that's missing from a lot of them, and it's simple, but I hear it from mentors all the time and people that give their time, a thank you. Ideally a written thank you note, but at least an email of thank you for your time. The second part is I'm going to follow up with, you know, I'm going to go do what you told me to do. Would it be okay if I check in with you? And most of the time they're going to say yes. A lot of the time what happened to you happens to people. They say, fine, I'll give you 15 or 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40, 60, whatever goes by, because they have good rapport, but you're just setting the tone for 20. And then lack of follow-up is runs rampant in the mentoring world. It's like, okay, we met a month ago. I gave them some really good sales strategies or presentation tips, whatever it might be. I don't know whatever happened to them. And it happens so often that these relationships that people could have, they do it one and done simply because they don't do follow-up. They're not thanking them and they're not saying, hey, it's been a month. I went out into the field and I did X and Y. Here's a challenge I'm facing now. Again, specificity, like you said, can we set up another 20-minute call? And it's just that consistent follow-up, because it's up to the mentee to drive the relationship. Right, it's not up to the mentor who's giving their time. And that's what they got to realize. The mentor's not being mean, but especially when people are mentoring more people, they're really generous with their time. It's not up to the mentor to sit follow up in 4 weeks. It's 100% up to the mentee to do it. And that's where a ton of relationships, and it's sad, completely fall short is follow up.
I mean, two things I love about what you just said. One is just, you know, thank yous. Your mom was right. Send thank you notes. I'm a huge fan of the handwritten note, just because it's so easy to stand out. And that person gave you, they gave you time, right? Which is really the most precious of commodities, not only their time, but they saved you time, right? And so even just spending 5 minutes to drop a note in the mail, or at worst, just an email, you're right, it's so huge and so rarely done. But I think you also pointed out something really important, which, and I think it's, and this I'm going to specifically speak to all the listeners who may be kind of younger in their careers. It's very easy to look at somebody who's mentoring you and kind of put them up on a pedestal. They're human beings. If they spend any time with you helping you be successful, it's because they now have an even slight vested interest in you, right? They want you to be successful. And more importantly, they want to know that they helped you be a little more successful. Just following up with them and letting them know that is huge. And something I tell people all the time is like, I'll help you with something, but I've got enough, you know, flying bullets in my life that I'm dealing with. If you want me to follow up with you, it's not going to happen. But if you email me and I'm an email guy. If you get in my inbox, I will respond. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but by the end of the week, but I can't take responsibility for it. And so really what I'm hearing is you're saying take responsibility for your own mentorship, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is great stuff. And so this is kind of what you put into that program. And I know that you work with a lot of organizations doing it. What's the name? Because didn't you, and I know we talked about this once and now I feel bad that I forgot it, but like, did you come up with a name for kind of like how this program works, or like some labels?
For the process, I needed something different than just mentoring, because everything we're speaking about, it's not just mentoring. It's about collaborate. And I teach part of what is in the program, and when I help people one-on-one, is how to give back to their mentors. And a big thing I'm huge on is how to actually collaborate with your mentors. I had a New York Times bestselling business author as a mentor from 2002 to 2000, I want to say 5 or 6, maybe 7. And it was great. He gave me ton. I only asked for the advice component, and I was really good at events, but I didn't have much to offer him in the way of a network. I was still building it. The short version is he eventually asked me when I got into social media. So like 07, 08, will you help me run my book launch?
Nice.
And when I collaborated with him, I learned so much more. And then his friends got referred to me because I'd worked with them. So that's one thing, just to, before I think about it, and a shiny object goes by. As far as mentors, if the relationship is building, try and find some way to collaborate with them. It might even be volunteering for them, doing something, because then you're working with them and your learning curve is going to go through the roof.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I love that. Collaboration is always great.
So because of the collaboration side and the fact that this is so much more than mentoring, I trademarked the term idea climbing, because what it is, it's combining. My idea might be how to start a business, and your idea is going to be, well, if you want funding, you have to start networking better. But it's growing ideas together, putting them together. And the climbing part is then you can go further and faster than you ever could alone.
Oh, I love that. Very cool. Idea climbing. There you go. It's not just mentorship. And as per usual, that is the way that I'm going to completely just segue into something not connected, but there you go. So idea climbing, what's a good idea is craft beer. And I want to climb into that idea right now. Mark, what good stuff are you drinking these days?
Goose Island just released their annual limited release of Bourbon County Stout.
Oh, every year that's a good one.
It is just, I came out, I got a case of it while the getting was good. I drink it very slowly and sparingly because it's just so good and it flies off the shelves.
Well, and also because if you have two of them, you can't walk in a straight line.
It is 12% alcohol, so two of them is not a good idea because they're bigger bottles.
Yeah, a definite sipping beer. So did you get, now if I'm right, that's the one, is that that's released on Black Friday every year, yeah?
I forget when it's released. I think so. I forget when it's released. I just know I saw it in the store. They made an announcement and I was there the day it was released.
Nice. Nice. That one's a hard one to find. And it's some years, what I do appreciate about, you know, some of the limited run barrel age stuff is that every year is different, right? In a good way. Like the beer that they use to put into it, the barrels they have, sometimes it's a little more bourbony, sometimes it's a little less. It's always an adventure, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I think they have three or four this year.
Oh,
different,
really?
Different types, at least three.
Nice. I wasn't even aware of that. So now I know what to look for next time I go to the my favorite beer store. Whenever you're trying not to drink at 12%, is there anything else you've been drinking?
There's a beer I like. It's a Belgian beer called Golden Monkey.
I know it well. Not that I drink a lot of it myself. I definitely have every once in a while, but I've got a good friend who's Rob's a big Golden Monkey fan. Do you like Belgians or just a big fan of this one in particular?
I tend to like Belgian. So the first time I tried it, I forget it's Belgian wheat or whatever it is. I figured, you know, if I see one like that, I'll try it.
Right. It's kind of particular. Who makes that one? I forget. Do you know offhand?
No.
I'll find it for the show notes and we'll give them props because, as I said, my friend Rob, if it's on tap or if they're selling it in the beer store, he definitely picks it up. And a little different than a barrel aged stout, that's for sure.
Oh my God, completely different.
And so here's my question. So what's your and maybe you don't have one. So I'm just thinking of the spectrum. So you got the really dark Golden Monkeys, you know, still kind of hoppy. You know, it's got the Belgian yeast, so you know it's kind of in the middle. So are there any like lightish beers you like? Do you have like a favorite, like sitting outside in a hot Chicago summer day beer?
No, I tend not to go for the lighter beers.
Why waste your time, right?
Some of them aren't. I mean, there's always the standbys like a Corona for the summer and stuff like that, but there's nothing that like the bourbon aged barrel, the special that, or a unique blend of, you know, with Golden Monkey. There's not anything like really special. It's like, oh, I have to have that in the summertime. In the summertime, Golden Monkey is what I would drink.
All right. That's fair. I mean, one of the things that I like, and you're starting to see this more, I've only noticed this in the last maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, but a lot of the craft breweries are moving away from just spending all their time making IPAs.
Mm-hmm.
And which is, I mean, there's nothing wrong with an IPA and it's not my favorite, as I've said on this show many times, but that's fine. But they're doing more in the darks, which I do like a lot, but they're also starting to do some really cool things with Kolsch's and, even Pilsners and lagers where it's like really flavorful. And so it doesn't taste like a cheap beer. Like Kolsch's have been one of my favorite things for the summers. And this is in the last only 2 years. Because they kind of, even you're talking about Golden Monkey, they just have some body to them while they're also not super heavy. Because, you know, when it's Chicago and it's 90 degrees, as much as I really want a stout, I'm like, no, it doesn't feel right.
Not really.
You can't really pull that one off.
No. No.
Yeah. Well, I think we could probably talk about the... the things that we should or should not drink during a Chicago summer some more. But I think this sounds like a good place for us to wrap things up. Mark, I always ask my guests at the end of our show, what's one piece of advice that you would give someone to help them have a better day today?
Reach out and have a conversation with no other criteria or ulterior motive. Thank someone that's helped you in some way, shape, or form, whether it was a guest on your podcast show, if you want to go that route, someone who mentored you, a teacher that helped, just somebody, and be crazy. Pick up the phone and call them. If you can't get them there, you know, email or write a really nice email if you're not much of a phone person, but no ulterior motive outside of, you know, and be specific. I'm writing you because here's what you told me to do. Here's what I did. It changed my life, changed the arc of my career, helped my business grow. Be very specific, not just the broad thank you, because what you're doing is saying, wow, this person listened to me. And that could spark one conversation I had like that. I got a book tour out of it with no ulterior motive. It was just an author that really helped me, and I thanked him. And because I reconnected with them over this, he was part of my Thanksgiving campaign to mentors where I thanked them over the holiday weekend. It turned into a conversation. It turned into a client. Can't expect that, but it just changes your energy for the day too. Especially if you can get someone on the phone and say, hey, do you have 15 minutes? Shoot them a text and get on the phone. It's just nothing besides thank you. Here's what you said. Here's what I did. Here's why it helped. You change your energy and you change the dynamics of your day, and you're going to feel a lot better, and so will they.
I love it. The attitude of gratitude.
Yes, that's what I was looking for. Thank you.
Absolutely. And it's what's funny about that is a lot of times you're gonna reach out to somebody, and I love your point about being specific. A lot of times they won't even remember it. They won't remember what you said, that they said something to you, and you can tell them, hey, it might have seemed like just a little thing to you, but it was so powerful for me. And that's great energy to put out into the world.
Oh yeah.
I love it. Mark, what's a good way for people to follow up with you if they want to get in touch?
Best way is to go to my website. It has all my office number, email, form to fill out, social media links. It's markjcarter.com. That's markjcarter.com.
Perfect. And we'll make sure to put that in the show notes as well. And of course, as always, thank you to our sponsor for today's episode. That was Beguile Brewing, the first Kickstarter funded brewery here in Chicago, and they are growing strong. They've got a brew pub, a tap room, I guess you would call it, on the north side of Chicago, but they can be found throughout Illinois and the Midwest. And if you get a chance, definitely check them out. And if you're not here in the Midwest, then, you know, there's a great reason to come to Chicago and do a brewery tour of all our fantastic sponsors who have been here in Illinois. And with that, thank you so much for spending a little bit of your time with us today. If you've enjoyed this, feel free to leave a review, give us a good rating, and tell your friends. And with that, have a wonderful day. I look forward to talking with you next time.
Thanks for stopping by. You can find show notes and links in this episode at beerbeatsandbusiness.com. We all know the best way to find out about a new podcast is through our friends. So please help us out and share what we're doing through social media, or just tell someone. And if you could do us a favor and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform, like iTunes or Stitcher, that would be great. Want to get in on the conversation? Send DFish a message on Twitter at DFishRockstar, and we'll save a spot for you at the bar for the next Beer, Beats, and Business podcast.